Y'all, so when I was 3.5 months sober, I was invited to go on a mission trip down towards South America, Trinidad. Didn't even know where it was. I'm like, is that in the Pacific? Like, I don't even know where Trinidad is. But I agreed to go newly sober along with this group of 30 people that had been in a discipleship ministry for the last year, like really godly people. And then here I come, like this train wreck. Miserable. And so, but I couldn't catch the flight that they were on. There were 30 people. I was going solo. I was going to get there about 12 hours before them. So I arrived to Trinidad and I get that little immigration sheet of paper if you've ever traveled internationally. And it's like destination, address, contact, phone number. And I'm like, oh, dude, like I just got on a plane. I don't even know. So I just leave it blank. And I put my passport number and I walked to the little immigration desk there in Trinidad. And the lady looks at me and she's like, this is incomplete, where are you going? And I was like, that's the thing. I don't really know. And she's like, who are you staying with? And I was like, yeah, I don't know that either. Well, who's picking you up? I was like, I was just gonna stay here until this other group of people comes. And she was like, what other group of people? Like really confused by the whole situation and how I just ended up in her country without any plan. I was like, there's this discipleship group and they're coming down here and we're gonna share the gospel. It's a mission trip. And at that point in time, like I think I just ruined everything because she looks at me. Trinidad is a predominantly Hindu and Islamic nation. She looks at me with this look of disgust, like, oh, really? That's what you're here for. And she says, you wait right there, and points to this chair way over in the corner. She's like, I'm gonna call whoever you think you're coming here with, and if they don't tell me clearly, you're on the next flight back to Miami. I was like, I go, ma'am, I'm so sorry. They're traveling too. There's no one to pick up the phone call where you're gonna call. She was like, I don't care. And so I go back to my chair, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, surely you didn't bring me to Trinidad for a round-trip flight to the airport. Like, you're going to do something. I don't have the money to just do this. Like, I know I made a mistake, but Lord, you got to come through. And I've got an angry immigration officer. I'm in a foreign country. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. The group that I'm supposed to be here with isn't here, and I'm stuck in a big way, and she's about to ship me back to Miami on the next direct flight. And as I'm sitting there, despairing and worrying, and I think I managed to eke out just a tiny prayer, another immigration officer walks to the desk and motions for me. And I'm like, it was a different one, so I'm looking around, surely it doesn't mean me. He does. He motions over, like, very sternly, and he doesn't say anything. He just says, passport. And I was like, oh, dude, this is when they take it, they confiscate it, I'm going back. And he goes, he takes it in his hand, he goes, stamps it, welcome to Trinidad. And I was like, sir, thank you, first of all. The woman that was here, and he goes, welcome to Trinidad. I was like I've broken enough rules in my life at this point that I'm like, I'm not looking to break any more rules. I was like, sir, the woman told me that I need, and he said, I suggest you walk through the airport and enter Trinidad. It was like, these are not the drones you're looking for. I was like, okay. Like, took the passport and walked into Trinidad. It was crazy. And here's what I mean to tell you by that, is that I was stuck. I had no ability to get out of anything. Like, I was in a bad place. I was under someone else's authority. They were about to kick me out. I had zero hope. There was no one I could call. There was nothing I could do. I was stuck apart from God intervening. And he did. And I share that with you because I think many of you here tonight are stuck in some area of life. You've ended up in a place where you think there's no options. Maybe because of something you've done or an addiction you've fallen into or adultery that you've committed or some habit that has grown so great it is now ruling you. Whereas you used to enjoy it, it now is controlling you. Or some situation, some confrontation, some relationship that you think is destroyed beyond repair. And I think all of us in one way or another, by our very presence here, is some kind of an admission that there's an area where we're stuck. And apart from divine intervention, we will continue to be there. And I'm here to tell you tonight that change is possible. Change is possible no matter where you are, no matter what situation you're in, no matter how hemmed in or the corner you think you've painted yourself into, it doesn't matter. Because with God, God Almighty, change is possible. And I'm going to tell you about that briefly tonight, and then you're going to hear about it again through a testimony that Holly's going to give you. The definition of change is, means this, to make altogether different. You'll notice here at Regeneration, we don't talk about being better. We talk about being made new. I have a new life in Christ, not a better life, new, altogether different, a changed life. We're talking about change. And here's the thing, you can't change. God can. I tried quitting drinking many times. From 12 when it started to 30 when it stopped, I tried a lot of different ways. You know, only on the weekends, only beer. Not for this month, because that'll break the habit. Like, I tried a lot, and I couldn't change. Only God could. He's the one that breaks us free from sins. You see, a lot of times we don't stop sins, we swap sins. So we think, well, I'm going to stop sleeping with my girlfriend, and then you start looking at porn. Or you think, well, I'm going to stop drinking, and you start smoking weed. Or I'm going to stop weed, and then you pick up K2. Or I'm going to stop smoking, and then you pick up snuff. Or I'm going to stop being so full of sin, and then you become self-righteous. We don't stop sins, we just swap them. Only God can break that chain and set us free from the bondage that is him, is sin. And he'll change your despair to joy. Only God can rewrite your history. I remember being 30 years old, I was sitting in the parking lot of a recovery meeting, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is what I've done with my life? I'm an alcoholic. I've burned through every relationship I've had, like napalmed it, destroyed it. I am sleeping on a couch. I'm suicidal and manic and depressed. I'm having horrific nightmares. Oh, and icing on the cake, cherry on top, I'm an alcoholic. Awesome. I have destroyed my life. At the age of 30, I've managed to completely destroy my life. And I cannot rewrite my history. But God could and did in a really short amount of time. He does what we're not able. He can change us. So I want you to know in your heart tonight, change is possible. Not from you, but God. And this room is full of people that are getting change. The next word, change is possible, is. Is a present tense verb. This is not a grammar lesson. But I will tell you in the present time, right now, tonight, that change is possible. Tonight. And I remember it was December 27th, 2005 for me when it was the is. Not was or will be, but it was my is moment where I sat in a recovery meeting and I, for the very first time, admitted that I was an alcoholic. That was my is night when change happened in that moment just by the simple fact of admission. Present tense. You see, God, it's not change was possible as if we had some chances, but we've blown it. Man, I gave you two chances, three strikes, you're out. Even 1,000 chances, that's not God. He is not a God of karma that treats us as our sins deserved. Oh, you did bad, you get bad. You did good, you get good. He's not that. He's this incredible God of grace who gives us present day chances every single day and night for change. Present tense, unlimited, always this God of grace in the present. And it's not even this future what if. It will be, because God's never going to tell you, hey, enough's enough, I'm done with you. But it's tonight. And don't put off tonight what God wants to do now for the future and say, you know what, someday. Jesus, I'll trust you to be my Savior. Someday I'll let you be Lord of my life. Man, tonight, present tense, change is possible. As a recovering alcoholic, I know random facts about booze. The biggest grapevine in the world, the biggest grapevine in the world, you know where that is? Napa, Italy, France. What do you think the biggest grapevine in the world would be found? You're never gonna guess. England. Cold, dreary, dismal. Sorry if you're from there. Often frozen England. That doesn't make sense. As a guy who used to consume a lot of alcohol, I never would have guessed that the largest grapevine was smack dab in the middle of England. But you know why it is there? For two reasons. One, it is protected. They've got this massive greenhouse over it, and they have since 1768. It's 250 years old. It's the biggest one in the world. It has been protected ever since then so that it can withstand any of the terrible climate that hits England, which often does. And the second reason, and I looked this up on Google Maps just to prove that it wasn't some kind of like random, you know, urban legend. It's the grapevine at Hampton Court. And I'm like, where is this Hampton Court in England? It is situated right on the River Thames, right there. Like Hampton Court, River Thames. It has a continual source. It will never face a drought. They say that its roots actually extend beyond Hampton Court right to the River Thames and is continually drinking out of it. It is protected and continually sourced. And therefore, the impossible is possible. And you've got this world's largest grapevine that you can't even put your arms around that is 250 years old, putting off literally tons of grapes in England because it's protected and it has an unending source. And so can you, if you will put yourself under the protection of God and give yourself the living waters of the Holy Spirit connected to Him, then the impossible will become very possible tonight. Change is possible. The definition of possible is able to be done within the power or capacity of someone, not you, someone greater than you. This is why Jesus came. He sees us in our broken state. And He knows it's impossible. You're like me, stuck in Trinidad without a hope. And you're about to get shipped out to someplace bad where you didn't want to be. And He sees that in our sin. And so He came to us. The eternally pre-existent Son of God took on flesh, came to us, lived the sinless life that we couldn't live, took the death that we deserved upon the cross, took our sin upon Himself, into the grave, into the tomb, raised again on the third day. He is the Son of God. He's not just a good man. He's God in flesh. And that's not just a historical fact. It's for you. It is for you. That truth is for you. That Savior is for you. That protection and unending source is for you. For the sin that you have committed and that has been committed against you, you are never too far gone. Ever. Period. In Jesus, change is possible through He who does the impossible. Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, because they were asking Him, like, who then can be saved? You know, if it's not these righteous people, Jesus, if not only they can't be saved because of their own righteousness, then who? They said this in Matthew 19:25. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Implying no one. It was a rhetorical question. Hey, Jesus, who then can be saved? What's the point? Following all these rules? We're stuck in our sin. Who can be saved? No one. And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things for you are possible. Everything is possible with God. And so it doesn't matter what addiction you're faced in. It doesn't matter if you've been addicted to porn for 20 years. It doesn't matter if you've been codependent and given yourself over to every relationship and every guy that you've ever met since you were 12 years old. It doesn't matter what family of origin you're coming after and out of that you think has defined you and given you all sorts of baggage that you're now dealing with as an adult. It doesn't matter whatever been done to you or what you've done to someone else. It doesn't matter the rage, hatred, anger, control, fear, worry, anxiety. It doesn't matter. Change is possible through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Tonight, change is possible. And that is regeneration, to be born again, made new. And it's what He lives to do because Jesus says His promises are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the God that we are here to worship. You remember that Trinidad airport? Well, I made it through the airport. My group caught up with me. I blew the cover on saying it was a mission trip. We managed to share the gospel with a lot of people. But 48 hours into that trip, my bag got stolen. My backpack, which included my phone, my wallet, my clothes, everything. I was left with like deodorant, jeans, and a shirt, and a pair of Crocs. And who wants to wear Crocs? Sorry if you are. Some things just come out. And I was stuck then. I was like stuck in the airport. Now I'm stuck in Trinidad. So I have to go to the embassy. I'm going through all this. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, I wanted to go to Venezuela. It's like 8 miles away. I wanted to go to Venezuela, see Angel Falls. And I couldn't. I was stuck. What I had to do was go home. But because of that tragedy, per se, of my bag getting stolen, what happened is I went back with those 30 people that were like really incredible followers of Christ. And then they invited me to go to their little training and equipping thing for like a week. And I was with them more. And then I applied to go to their year-long discipleship ministry. And against all odds, this old drunk got accepted. And I got discipled. I will tell you this because my whole life changed because my bag got stolen. My tragedy became my greatest opportunity. And so whatever tragedies, per se, brought you in these doors tonight, let me tell you, it's your greatest opportunity. Because here you're going to meet Jesus, the one who raises the dead, makes the old new, sets the captives free, and takes our brokenness and makes it into a thing of beauty. So, on behalf of that, on behalf of him, welcome to Regeneration. My name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ. Truly a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism, pride, and gluttony.